Well, we are coming up this weekend on what will be the 100-year anniversary of the Villisca Axe Murders. And it's amazing to believe we're reaching that milestone, but some events coming up in the Red Oak area this weekend to commemorate that. We're going to talk about that here this morning with Kelly Rundle, who is with Fourth Wall Films. He and his wife operate that production company, and one of the films that they spent a lot of time on and had a lot of success with was Villisca Living with a Mystery. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for talking with me today.
Well, you sure did get a lot of publicity out of that presentation, didn't you?
Well, once it was done, we spent about 10 years working on it while we were doing other things, working regular jobs and whatnot. And it was kind of a tough nut to crack, but once we had it done and once it was available, it kind of took off and has opened the doors for everything else that we've been able to do with our films.
Well, and there are a lot of people who've been watching for many, many years because of the proximity, of course, here in this area, but the people involved and all those kinds of things. But, you know, for anybody, anywhere, everybody kind of loves a mystery, and this is kind of the ultimate mystery.
Well, it is. I mean, we say, kind of in our publicity material, have always called it America's greatest unsolved mystery, and I think there's only a little bit of exaggeration in that. The story itself almost sounds unbelievable in a way. It almost sounds like you're making it up. I always thought if you pitched that story to a publisher, they would say, "Oh, that's too outrageous. You know, no one's going to believe that that could happen." You know, so no, it's a great. I still think it's one of the greatest unsolved mysteries in America.
Well, and a lot of people have tried over the years, and I know a friend of yours, Dr. Edgar Epperle, has spent the balance of his life, it seems like the majority of his years on this earth, studying and searching and pawing through all the things that he can find, and he's really done a lot of work with that, and you've put together a short documentary kind of chronicling his efforts.
That's right. Ed began his research as a college student instead of doing an Iowa history paper. By just referring to materials in a library, Ed and two friends decided they would do original research, that they would travel to Villisca and that they would try to connect with some people involved in the case and some of the original documents and things like that, and that's what they did.
And he has stuck with this for an awfully long time, and I'm sure a lot of people wonder, how in the world can you keep focus on something for such a long time?
I think people do wonder that, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to make this little film, because that's a question I think you start asking when you are talking with a man who says he spent, you know, nearly 60 years researching one event in Iowa history. Now, because we've been with the story since about 1993 in terms of our own interest in research, we kind of understand why he you know, has done that, because the subject has so many interesting elements to it that go beyond the crime itself. And I often say that our film, Villisca Living with a Mystery, isn't about the Villisca Axe Murders. It's really about everything that happened as a result of that tragedy.
Is it fair to say, after we get close to the 100-year anniversary here, that this is a mystery that will probably never be definitively solved?
Well, we're aware, and I think Dr. Epperle is aware, certainly, of the available materials. And the answer is not in the available materials, at least not a definitive answer. In our film, we presented our theory of what we think happened. Ed would probably present a slightly different theory. It's almost easier to say who didn't do it among the suspects than who definitively did do it. Now, it's possible, and things do continue to come to the surface, primarily just smaller kinds of things, but, you know, maybe someday some missing piece of the puzzle will fall into place.
Well, I know years ago you had an opportunity, and of course that's in your documentary as well, a chance to interview some of the folks who were familiar with and were around at the time. You know, we're getting close to the 100-year anniversary now, just a few days away, so obviously, well, I'm guessing obviously that all those folks have now, they're not here anymore to be able to discuss it with us. So it's really difficult when you don't have, you know, folks who were that close to the story to really be able to put some of those other pieces together.
Yeah, and that's part of the story that you can't get any other way. We have a lot of historical documentation on the case. There is a grand jury investigation from 1917 that gives you an incredible incredibly detailed glimpse into, you know, a few days in June of 1912 in a small town in Iowa, where people were, what they were doing. It's just an amazing document, aside from the murder mystery part. But we were fortunate to interview three or four people who remembered the day the murders were discovered. And that's a much different experience than just reading about it in a book. None of those ladies lived to see the finished film. The oldest person we interviewed was actually 11 or 12 years old at the time it happened. So her memories of the day of the murder in particular were pretty vivid.
You get pretty good response, I think, anyway, from what I saw from the presentation that you put together, Villisca, Living with the Mystery. You had screenings in several different locations some years ago, and an opportunity for folks to see the acts, to visit with you and Tammy, and also Dr. Epperle in some of those cases, too. Is the feedback do you still get people that will ask you about this from time to time? It seems like there's just always been interest in this.
Yeah, and that title, among all our titles, is still our best-selling title. But, yeah, we do get emails. People, because we don't have the budget of a big studio, you know, I used to work for Columbia Pictures in Los Angeles, and they used to spend $20 or $30 million publicizing a single movie. And, you know, we have to roll things out rather gradually by comparison. So people are discovering the film all the time, and we do get emails and feedback from people. One of our... we traveled with the film for about, for the summer of 2004, and I think we did 28 cities in the Midwest that summer. And then when we got back to Los Angeles, we got a call from the Fridley Theater chain, and they wanted to test the film in Atlantic at the theater there. And so they gave us the two worst days on the movie calendar, which is a Monday and a Tuesday. People don't go to the movies on Mondays and Tuesdays. But they showed the film, and Brian Fridley said it was as if they had opened Star Wars on a Monday and Tuesday. So we had a good response there, and the Fridley Theater chain picked it up, and then another theater chain on the western side of the state picked it up. So I think in the first year or 14 months while the film was in theaters, we did about 60 cities, and it's, I don't know exactly how many more it's been since then, but quite a few more since then.
Yeah. Well, you'd expect that here close to home because it does have a certain personal touch to it as well there. But as far when you get further and further away from the home base here, from where it actually occurred, you know, then you wonder what kind of response you would get. And as I said, people like a mystery, so the response was still pretty decent.
Yes, we did have two of the bookings we did. We had a Los Angeles premiere, and we had two bookings of the film in theaters in Los Angeles, and there was no difference in the response to the story out there. So that probably is the answer to that question.
All right. Well, this is going to be part of this weekend's focus, too. I know you've got some screenings again this weekend coming up in Red Oak. Tell the folks what they can expect.
Well, we have two films that we're showing this weekend. Of course, the commemoration of the Axe murder story will be on Sunday, June the 10th, and we're going to be showing that'll be at 2 p.m., and we'll be showing the short film Axeman and also the feature of Villisca Living with a Mystery. Dr. Ed Epperle will be there, so we'll have a kind of a Q&A during that event. We're also stopping as we head down there in Des Moines to pick up the axe. And so it'll be on display. It's been a few years since it's been in Montgomery County and available for people to see. So we're looking forward to that event. And it's sponsored by the Montgomery County History Center and the Villisca Historical Society.
Now, I have a DVD copy of the movie Villisca Living with a Mystery at home. Will that be available for folks who might be interested?
Yes, you bet. And we'll probably have some kind of a discounted price, too, to kind of add to the commemoration of the event. So I think it'd be a great place to come and learn about the facts of the case. There's a lot of, as a result of the more recent kind of paranormal stories related to the house, there's a lot of folklore circulating about the case that is not the true story. So this is a way for people to find out what really happened on June the 10th in 1912.
Absolutely. And again, that event coming up this Sunday, June the 10th, from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Montgomery County History Center. That's at 2700 North 4th Street in Red Oak, and that'll include that Q&A. And also coming up this weekend on Saturday, I know one of the other documentaries that you did that got quite a bit of acclaim, the one about country schools, that will also be screened this weekend.
Yes, that's our third documentary. It's called Country School, One Room, One Nation, and it'll screen at the History Center in Red Oak on Saturday, June the 9th at 2 p.m. The film does feature schools from Southwest Iowa and interviews as well. It seems we can't make a documentary without coming back to visit with our friends in Southwest Iowa, so we appreciate that. And that film, too, has been doing very well. I don't know how many screenings we've had exactly, but it's probably between 40 and 50 showings of the film in the Midwest, and the film has been screened literally from coast to coast. One of the first out-of-state or out-of-the-Midwest screenings we had was in New York State, and we've had one in California and others around the country. And people are using the film to raise money for their one-room school restoration project, and that's a great outcome that we didn't really foresee in the beginning.
Well, if you want to get people's attention, talk to them about things that interest them, and that's what you've done.
Right.
Very good. All right. Well, Kelly, again, we wish you a good weekend. Hope it works out well for you this weekend. The 100-year anniversary of the Villisca Axe Murders commemorated this weekend in Red Oak, as they'll have those presentations coming up for you this Friday or this Saturday and Sunday. Hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of that, and maybe relive the mystery once again and see if you come up with some different ideas than what you had before you walked in the door, huh?
That's right. And it's just a time to remember this terrible event, but also to look at what the impact might have been, both at the time it was happening and down through the years.
Absolutely. Kelly Rundle, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jim.